Then we are going to welcome Pastor Wendy for our main message today.
Thank you. Please sit. Please be seated. Sit now. Thank you. I'm going to go ahead and pray again. Father, I just thank you for this Sabbath. I thank you for the many joys we've experienced through this season and the many sorrows. And I know that our hearts are heavy today. And I just thank you that you know that and you hold us close. Thank you for opening our ears and our eyes to the message, to the things that you want us to take away from today. And I just thank you that you're showing us each day how to radiate your love. We just love you, Abba. Amen. So this portion is called Va'etchanan, and I pleaded, and it's Deuteronomy 3:23 through 7:11. It's named that because of Moses and his desire to go into the promised land. After all those years of struggling and wandering through the wilderness, finally coming to that place, and in this portion, they're in their 39th year, and I think like 11th month or something, they're pretty darn close to crossing into. He one more time asks the Lord if he can go in. And you know, I keep thinking, I always think it's a weird thing, like why would he plead for something? He knows God said what he said. He knows it was a consequence. He accepted it. Why is he pleading again to go in? And it hit me that how many times did Moses intercede for people and it changed God's mind? Knowing he's such a merciful God, such a gracious God, I think Moses was appealing to his grace and just saying, God, would you turn for me in this situation? And he says, no. He said, no, this is not what I have for you. But I think it's a little bit more than just God being a hard nose with him. I think it was because Moses wasn't enough. He didn't have everything he needed to cross over. And I'm speaking more figuratively, but there is a lesson in that for us too, physically. And I'll get more into that as we go. I've named this one A Sentimental Journey. Because Moses recovered, or he's reviewing their journeys along the way. He was told, commission Joshua and encourage and strengthen him, for he will cross over before this people, and he will enable them to inherit the land that you will see. So Moses wasn't able to, but it was on him to encourage the next generation to go through, to cross over. It's pretty amazing when you think about it that he's not just supposed to commission Joshua. He doesn't just hand over the mantle. He says, now you can do it. He gives him the courage to do it. He is supposed to also strengthen him. And he says, and now you, Joshua, are going to have to enable the people to do it. So Deuteronomy 4, verses 1 through 4. I'm going to read these with us right now. Now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and ordinances that I'm teaching you to do so that you may live and go in and possess the land that Yahweh, the God of your fathers, is giving you. You must not add to the word that I'm commanding you or take away from it in order to keep the mitzvah or the commands of Yahweh, your God, that I am commanding you today. Your eyes have seen what Adonai did at Baal Peor, for Adonai, your God, has destroyed from among you everyone who followed Baal Peor. But you who held tight to Yahweh your God are alive today, all of you. Those words are really powerful. Let those sink in. Those who cling tight to God right now in this time, that's what will sustain us during this time. The words just resonate so deeply with me. Moving on, you must keep and do them, for it is your wisdom. It's your understanding in the eyes of the peoples who will hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what great nation is there that has God so near to them as Yahweh our God is whenever we call on him? I actually read that scripture at a county commissioners meeting a couple weeks ago and just called on our God. Come to find out, they do actually pray before their meetings. It's cool. They don't do it officially with, like, on record, but the three commissioners do pray together, which I thought was really awesome. But this is our nation, and I start to think this is the remnant of God's people in our nation, because our nation really is not a godly nation. It's very pagan in the ways that we operate and the government and everything we're doing now, really. It's not a godly nation, but God's people are. And we, as I think Pastor Curtis said it, we are the leaders. We are the ones that are to lead this nation. And so what other nation is it that has a God so near that we can call on and say, God, lead us, guide us, give us your wisdom, because we sure don't have it. Then you said, Yahweh, our God, has just shown us his glory and his greatness, and we have heard his voice from the midst of the fire. This day we've seen that God speaks with man, and yet he keeps on living. So here they had this revelation. And this is a mix of, so if we're thinking about the time frame, this is a mix of the old generation that's dying off and the new ones that are about to cross over. And they're saying, gosh, we saw your greatness and we actually lived through it. We saw you speak face to face. Very next scripture. Now then, why should we die? For this great fire will consume us. If we hear the voice of Yahweh our God anymore, then we're going to die. Talk about double-mindedness. Literally had that revelation of who God was, and then in the next breath, they were freaking out again. And I think that we can probably identify with that, right? How many times do we see the God's hand move in our lives in a mighty way, and then we have something come up, and we're instantly in fear? So why didn't they trust that it would be good for them? They literally just said how man heard his voice and lived. So why didn't they trust? You know, part of it is no one had ever, they were in uncharted territories. They hadn't ever seen anybody go through what they had gone through. And to cross over into this new land, I mean, the word Hebrew literally means to cross over. So they were the inventors of this concept, you know, if you think about it. But they hadn't seen that. They didn't have the physical example. They had to literally walk by faith and not by sight. That is in the Bible. You're right. I think about that too. If we have had examples of people walking before us, though. We don't have to just go on, oh God, what are we facing? We've seen miracle after miracle. We have the Bible full of them. But we also have physical examples. We've seen and we know about the stories of our founding fathers in America, the way God worked out amazing, miraculous things for them. So this really made me think about Beit Lechem's journey and the areas, the things that we've gone through. As they're reviewing, I thought, what was the point? Why was Moses reviewing these areas? They all walked through it. They know. Besides that they had a very strong oral tradition and they were supposed to pass that down to their children, there was another purpose. There was a greater purpose in recounting these things. Because every single one of those places that they stopped, the good and the bad, God was in it. God held them. God took them through it. God said, hey, you had a hard lesson you had to learn here. You lost 40,000 in a plague in this one, or 24,000 here. You ate so much manna that it was coming out your nose in this spot. And quail, that too. That all these journeys, though, all these spots, God said, I want you to remember that I had my hand on it. So most of us, many of us, have been through Beit Lechem's journey, and there's some that haven't, so we're going to go through it a little. Back in 2001, that was a long time ago, it started with two people learning Torah. This was Pastors Curtis and Karen. And the original call that God put on their heart was to teach Torah to their family, and they were told to speak it to anybody that asked, that anybody that came into their realm or their sphere of influence. And they were very faithful to that. 2002, so I'm skipping over some major details, but I can't do everything. But 2001, as many of you know, Pastor Curtis went through several surgeries, lots of trials. That we lost three grandparents. They lost parents, that, you know, our grandparents that year. But in the midst of that, God was birthing something. So we We opened up Beit Lechem in 2002 and really in the backyard of their house. I think it was around 2003, began holding service in the Redlands. Some of these dates are approximate. We're going on foggy memories. Then 3 or 4 years later, we began holding service at Aspen Street in Fruita. We were renting a church in the Redlands, and then it opened up that we could rent the Majestic Theater in Fruita, which was kind of cool, actually. And then in 2009, we bought the property here and began building. I think that's right. And then we finally moved in 2010. So just after Passover that year. So we literally celebrated Passover in the old place and then moved in here. Always moved on God's feast days. Always something happening. You know, and in these times, you know, our congregation is thinned out and it's built up again. And it's thinned and thickened. And we've learned through those things. In 2020, January, the church was set on fire in more ways than one. It was a major shaking in our kahal, as we all know. Victory Life opened up its doors to us. They were very generous. They just immediately offered that. February or March, I can't remember exactly, the perimeter around our property was on fire. So literally all three sides back there burned and only touched our property in one little spot. But yeah. Anyway, but it wasn't allowed to cross in. It wasn't allowed to take over our property. I just thought that was an amazing miracle to see. And then COVID hit, which we all have experienced. So we met in small groups for 1 month in May. And again, what's the purpose of us going through these things? Because I know these things evoke a lot of emotion as we read them. You know, we're like, oh yeah, I remember. And May, that was hard. You know, I had to figure out 10 groups for 100 people, because we were limiting it to 10 people in each group. And, you know, we worked it out perfectly where we had it. We didn't go over. And just all these things that we were scrambling, but God provided. And then in June, we regathered, and we had a beautiful property that we were able to meet on in the back with lots of breeze and lots of sunshine, too. But it was a different time, and it felt... You know, honestly, it felt heavy. I was happy, I was glad to be here, but it felt heavy. It was hard. It was hard to regather. It was hard to bring people back. And I think we as a body were floundering. I think we were struggling with what God was doing and taking us through. And it felt a little scary at times. But those that continued to set their hands to the plow, we saw a great harvest. We saw beautiful fruit. The first day of Feast of Tabernacles, we moved in to this building, again, on God's feast day. It was completely renovated. It was beautiful. It feels like a breath of fresh air coming into this place. There wasn't a lot of clutter, which is nice. We rededicated the building and the four corners of the property with all of you, and Yahweh enabled us to pay off our mortgage and operate debt-free, which is huge. There's not a lot of churches, I think, that can say that, especially that have, you know, 5 acres, too, which is, it is amazing. In the midst of, that's the thing, too, what other nation has a God so near they can call upon him and see these great miracles happen? Amen. Look at Beit Lechem. In the midst of plague and darkness surrounding us, God allowed us to prosper. His hand is on this body. His hand is on this church. That fall, COVID is still a thing. Guess what? Still is a thing. And now we're at like Delta, Lambda, Theta, Phi, something. I don't know. But we're going to probably cover the alphabet. Masks, more government control, vaccines, etc. God's still in the midst of all these things. We supported and we thanked our fire department and our police departments through goodie bags and notes with blessings. We had a lot of people in our hall come out for that, too. Because we are a body that serves, and we do a really good job of it. That February, we started Colorado Praise. So these are some new things that we started doing in our kahal. But we're still Beit Lechem, right? That February and March, we began the 40 Days for Life campaign, the pro-life effort, which we will be probably participating in again in the fall. That April, we participated in our first Share Fest, which was, you know, just helping with community projects in the Valley. And then we had Passover in our own church building. That was one of the first times, I think first time ever, right, that we, no, not ever, but able to accommodate it here. And then that May, we did Shavuot and First Fruits. And then we have our Fall Feast coming up. I forgot I was going to put the dates up there. We have, so, Day of Trumpets, Yom Teruah. Then we'll have Day of Atonement, which is Yom Kippur, and then Sukkot. And Sukkot is September 20th through the 27th. So working backward from there, we have those other two feast days. I don't remember the exact dates, but roughly beginning of September. So if you haven't started marking those on your calendar, do that now. But get those in your mind, have those ready. So where is Yahweh taking us now? I think there's been a lot of uncertainty, and we've been wondering about that. What is God doing in this body? And not just in this body, but I think personally we're all going through some major change, major, you know, even sadness or burden or heaviness, you know, whatever it is. God has got us on the cusp of something new in our lives. And summertime is the time, I said it last time, we have to remain vigilant. It's a time when I think we can tend to get lazy. We can get in that lull of things because we're not so much on the same kind of schedule as the rest of the year. But we need to know that God is a God of order, and that if we submit our time, we submit our hard lives, we submit just our own desires and will to Him and just say, I surrender, God. I surrender to what you have. Then He is the one that is faithful to take us over. He's the one that causes us to cross over. My job is to encourage us to cross over. But you know what God is doing when He's taking us into and out of our comfort zones? It's not just so that we'll be stronger and bolder people. Those are important things. But it's because we're coming into some harder times. And I don't want to be a doomsday person, but it is so that we will live. He is teaching us to cross over so that we will live and prosper in this next time. And I don't mean just hide out in a cave and hope it all goes well. I mean that we live life abundantly in this time. But what about the prophecy that we would be a bridge? We've talked about that many times, that's something God's put on our hearts. We had visions of it. We've had dreams about being a bridge, that's something that Beit Lechem is going to do. Well, some of the areas that we have been a bridge are in those community efforts where we have reached out to the police and the fire departments and ShareFest and other 40 Days for Life. Let me go on. Oh, yeah, I have a picture up there. It doesn't show on this end. but what God has been showing us about these bridges is it's not necessarily in these mass efforts. It's in face-to-face, heart-to-heart connections. It's in these one-on-one conversations that we've been allowed to have. And I thought, that's what the bridge is. That's not just as a body, but individually. But you know what? We can't do that if we continue to be divisive in our own minds, if we continue to hate, if we continue to think those people are idiots because they don't believe the way I believe. And I know that that's a harsh word to say, but it is probably words we've all thought of, you know. But these face-to-face conversations is how God is bringing us access into areas that we haven't had access before. It's how He works. Torah is the basis, but we have to move beyond the page because it's not about eating kosher, it's not about wearing tzitzits, and it's not about doing Sabbath perfectly. These are all really important basic concepts for us, that we walk in His instruction, that we do keep Sabbath, and that we do eat the way that He teaches us to eat. But that is not our salvation, and it's certainly not what draws people to us. Those are the things that actually can be very divisive, if that's what we're touting. Romans 8:4 says, "The righteousness of the Torah should be completed in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." We are being challenged to move beyond the elementary teachings, to go beyond the page. We are being challenged to go beyond what we know as being comfortable, the the things that we've been doing over and over, year after year, that have been good, but God wants more. They're not enough. And if we stay in that, we don't grow. We actually fall back. Because if you're not growing, you're receding. And God wants us to always be growing. Torah is not just Genesis through Deuteronomy. It is actually through Revelation. It's the whole Bible. Because Torah is Yeshua. He is HaTorah. He is our teaching and instruction. And we are to walk by His Spirit, not just by what we read on the pages here. All Scripture is God-breathed and good for reproof. How did Yeshua walk? Why do we like The Chosen so much, the show, The Chosen? Dennis, why do we like that show? I would say it's because it shows, what'd you say? Because He's so real. But you know what I think is such a draw is the love. He's such a loving man. The way that Yeshua came on earth, the way that He walked out purposely out to that well to meet that Samaritan woman. And the Samaritans were an outcast people. But Yeshua walked out to her to say, you are important to me. I know I've probably said that before a few times, but I think that one resonates with me deeply. But why are we drawn so much to that? Because it's love that emanates from Him. And that's the kind of love God wants us to emanate through us, or to emit through us. So in Deuteronomy, at the end of this portion, it talks about it will be righteousness to us if we take care to do all this commandment before Adonai our God, just as He has commanded us. Isn't that an interesting thought? So I almost sound like I'm contradicting myself up here, because I'm saying Torah doesn't bring us righteousness, but here it's saying that it kind of is. But it will be righteousness to us if we do follow the commands. But if we don't do it in the Spirit, that's when it becomes legalism. If we're not following His commands, being led of the Holy Spirit, then it absolutely becomes legalism. And if that's what we're looking for, if we're looking to do these commands perfectly, if we're looking to do it the way that we think it should look, then we're not doing it led of the Spirit. And it is our own self-righteousness, and that's a major turnoff to people around us for sure. But you know, if we are really allowing God to be the ones that guide us, if we allow Him and His Holy Spirit, and you know, how does that look practically? It means you wake up in the morning and you say, Yahweh, show me if I've offended You. Show me if I've walked out of my lane. Show me how to walk with You today. And then we pray again when we come up against something that we're not sure, you know, or we get too embroiled in the battle or in the politics or the other things around us. And we say, okay, Yahweh, show me how to anchor myself in You again. For in Romans 2, it says, for when Gentiles who do not have the Torah, so maybe they haven't grown up learning the Torah, but they do by nature the things of the Torah, they are a law to themselves. They are a Torah to themselves, even though they do not have the Torah. That is such a deep verse if you really think about it. It's a hard one. But a Gentile really is someone who, like the technical definition, is someone who is pagan, confused, and without God. So none of us here are Gentiles. You shouldn't be, right? And if you are, then yes, we will have an altar call and we will pray for you. But none of us here are Gentiles. But we are believers in Christ. And if we are walking by the Spirit, and that's literally what that's saying, and we are being led of these things, God is the one who leads us into His instruction. He's the one who leads us into understanding what it means to choose between clean and unclean, and what it means to keep His feast days and His Sabbaths. Because it's not just about that. When we keep Sabbath, it's keeping a covenant. That's what's so important about it. It's not because it's the day. It's because we love our God and we love His heart and we want to keep covenant with Him. And He says, my covenant is, my promise to you is, if you come on this day, I'm going to meet with you. That's my covenant. That's my heart as your husband, your spiritual husband. That's what I'm offering you, is these things. So if you will meet me on these feast days, I'm going to do awesome, mind-blowing things in your life on those days. I'm going to transform you like you've never seen before. So Yahweh tells us who His body is, not us. His body is not just Beit Lechem. His body is everyone that believes in Him in this valley and beyond. but I'm talking about our realm, our spheres of influence is this Grand Valley that God has planted us in, right? So if we're to be a bridge, individually and as a body, we need to recognize that when that Mormon church burned down, those were our brothers and sisters. And that's who we open our hearts up to and we reach out to. And I know that there are many that do believe that Jesus Christ, that are Mormons, that Jesus Christ is God, and that is the same God. I'm not saying that Joseph Smith or the other things, but those that who call upon the name of Jesus, those are our brothers and sisters. And so there's many of those throughout the Grand Valley that we need to be open to. I'm not sure why, but God just really put this on my heart to talk about today. Because I think that we all are having conversations or at least have opportunity to come into contact with others and not just be a segregated body out here in Fruita. Because that's not effective. And why would God even, what's the point? You know, yes, we are to mature in the body here, but it's not just to be unto ourselves. It's so that we can influence those around us, we can influence our grown children, our family members, you know, those that we do have in our areas of influence. Why did Yahweh allow the pandemic? What is that about? You know, why did he give us a president that stood for pro-life, that stood for basically our biblical values? He may not have liked how he said these things, but in his actions, he stood for these things. Why did he only give us that president for 4 years and then take him out? She said, we're going to need him again in 4 years, that's why. That could be. That could be, but I think the greater purpose in those things was so that we would cry out to our God, that we would say, okay, God, please, we want to cross over. And God says, okay, Moses, I'm going to allow the next generation to cross over that grew up with your teaching, but only Joshua is going to be able to bring them over because they're going to walk by my spirit and Torah, and that's how they're going to cross over. So Yahweh said, okay, people of America, I'm allowing this pandemic so that you will get off your lukewarm fence. Because who owns the fence? The devil. Sarah Kelty taught me that, actually. Sorry, I lost my train of thought. Yeah, that's the other bit, the out of the comfort zone. It causes us to realize it's on us to do it.
We are called to build
this. We are. You know, and I actually heard a rabbi this morning talking about that all the places, and that's almost a panic feeling to me sometimes, all the places I would think of where I could maybe hide out, you know, or maybe just shrink back to, and even Israel, they're not safe. Mexico's not safe right now. It's because it doesn't matter where you go. It's all the same. We're facing the same kind of harsh regulations and just change of lifestyle that we're accustomed to. There's no safe place but in the cleft of the rock, in the bosom of our God. That's where we are safe right now. So he allowed the pandemic again. He allowed the church to be burned to shake us, and it absolutely did. And if you're feeling shaken right now, I know our knee-jerk reaction is to go back into our phone and play games or, you know, whatever it is that we feel safe, just turn on the TV or even just go in our closet and hide. But that's not the right response. The safest thing we can do is open ourselves up like this and say, God, I surrender. It's to literally do the thing that feels the scariest. It's to open ourselves up and to say, okay, God, I'm going to trust you for where you're taking us. I'm going to trust you for where you're taking Beit Lechem. I know that it feels scary that Pastor Curtis has stepped down, but he has never been the head of this church. It's always been Yahweh, and it still is. So I'm asking that you would trust that where God's taking us is not through Pastor Matt and I, it's through Yahweh. And I want you to know that we take that seriously. We're on our faces. Our whole body, our whole leadership was in prayer this week and on our faces asking God, how do you want us to move forward? What do you want us to do as a body here? But I want you to know that's who you can trust. You can trust God for this kahal. Trust him for the growth. Trust him for everything that ever freaks you out in your mind that comes up. Trust him for it. Just say, okay, you know, convict her. If Wendy's off base, convict her, God. Talk to her heart, because he will, and I'll hear it. Because I have a lot of fear of walking in my own ways. I certainly don't want to do that. So do you know that a great harvest is coming? I can't believe how many times I've heard that prophesied, but two times specifically. One time over me this week, and then another time a few months ago over this body. So that's twice now over this body specifically, too. I have felt that in my spirit, too, honestly. It's kind of scary to say that, but I have. And you know the cool thing, that one of the people that prophesied it this week, she's a well-known speaker throughout the valley, she said, it's such a great harvest that not one church can contain it, and we all need to link arms and be there. Amen. Which I thought was really cool. It's unity, but it's also teaching us what it means to be one in Yeshua. And you know the cool thing too is that even 5 years ago, people weren't using the words Yeshua and Yahweh, you know, as frequently as they are now. I'm hearing, you know, mainstream Christians pray in Yeshua's name and talk about him that way. And you know, the other really cool thing is that that blesses my heart, which is over here. But the mic is there too. is that people are, they don't look at me sideways when I say I'm a Sabbath, or you know, our church meets on Saturday. That's not a weird thing anymore to most people, which is really amazing, because you know, there is a little bit of insecurity when you go to tell someone the name of your church and then you spend your 30 seconds explaining it. And then you say, when we meet and what we do, people are like, oh, wow, that's awesome. We need that. We need that. Yeah, I know. Exactly. It used to take longer. But we do need, you know, people are saying we do. And I've never thought the Old Testament was done away with, or I've never thought it was just Bible stories that were neat. I always thought there was more to the Old Testament. So these are the things that I'm hearing in my conversations with people, because he is doing it, and that is also the bridge. You know, it's just, he's given me a revelation of what that bridge is, and it's really cool. One thought that I had that I'm going to go back to real quick. Paul, in the Bible, Apostle Paul, knew the Torah inside and out. He memorized it. He was a scholar of scholars, but he didn't know Yeshua. And it took a major life-changing revelation, you know, knock him down, blindness, to know who Yeshua was. And then what an amazing ministry he had because of that, too. But, again, I just want to emphasize that. Let me see here. Yeah, I think that covered the main points. So knowing that a great harvest is coming, and knowing right now that our body is not that huge, but how backward it seems to add on right now. But I just keep feeling in my spirit that God says to do it, build it and they will come. I don't mean to sound cliche, but that's what I keep feeling in my spirit, and I think the rest of our leadership does too. So we are going to be building on. We do need to pray for that. We don't know exactly how, and we want to stay within our budget, of course. But we do have that thought and that feeling that that's the next step. Yeah, that's good. We're building because they are coming. That's right. But the great harvest isn't just people coming to Beit Lechem either. It's the family members that you've been praying for. Sorry. We had such an anointed time in California with our family. We got to spend a few days with my uncle and my aunt on my dad's side, my dad's younger sister. And those were such divine appointments with them. They were so, they're believers, and they truly love God. But you know, it just blessed my heart that my uncle is 79 years old, sat down and was asking me questions about God, asking me questions about just Torah, really. And I just thought, wow, what a humble heart. I pray that that's how our hearts would always be as we get older. You know, not ever thinking we have it all figured out, but just always saying we could learn more, we could grow more, you know. And then we got to meet with another cousin of mine and his wife, And you know, he's actually just rediscovered God recently, and it took his wife going through cancer for him to cry out to God again, and he's hungry. He's hungry for God again, and it was just a really blessed time. So I just felt like these are areas that have opened up recently that were not before. And I do think the more that we press into the Spirit of God and really loving on these people, and I know that's such a weird thing right now, because there's so much division in politics right now. There's so much, like, you believe in that, I can't even look at you. You make me sick, you know? It's almost that bad at times. And I think it's backward, but God's really challenging us in those things to look at people in those areas and say, okay, but they're still human. And what's universal to all humans is pain. Pain and kindness. So if we can try to find points where we can connect with people across these areas, that's where we will be effective in their lives. And I know I see that with, you know, there's people going out and protesting and yelling at people, and it usually doesn't do a whole lot. But I also see, you know, Andrea's heart, she's been meeting with people one-on-one. She's been able to meet with our mayor. She's met with a principal of a school recently. She's met with a couple of people on the school board of Mesa County. And she's had really awesome conversations where they've asked her for more information. They're asking her about some of these mask things and critical race theory and things like that, where God's giving her access because she's a bridge. So I just think those are powerful, and that's what I pray that we take away today. But I'm going to ask, we are going to bring up Dennis and Wanda, but we are going to have a time of prayer first. And this is what I would ask us to do. These are five areas that I think our leadership has really identified that we would like to take to prayer. I didn't put building on there because I think we made a decision, but I think that's something, if you want to add that too, you can. But I was going to ask that we divide into five groups and that each group would take an area and spend some time praying on that today. Because this body, we have always done things together with this body. I think we've always tried to include and figure out how do we move forward with things. And so these are our needs. So we're putting them out there so that we can all pray about them together and we can figure out how to do this. Because this is our kahal. This is our body. This is our Beit Lechem, which means house of bread, if you don't know. Okay, so the youth and childcare. So I'm thinking we could either, here's how we could do it. I could just group you by your section, or you can raise your hand if you want to pray for a certain area, and then I can group you based on that. Who likes the first idea? Raise your hand. Okay, so the second idea. Okay, we'll do the second. All right, so if you want to pray for youth and childcare, please raise your hand. Okay, would you please meet over here in this top corner? Top front corner. Okay, resources, expounding on youth and childcare, that our youth, you know, right now there's an amazing movement at Canyon View Vineyard. I always want to say Canyon West, I'm sorry. Canyon View Vineyard Church. Oh gosh, sorry. There's, they have their explosion of youth. And you know, it's a really beautiful thing, honestly. There's other churches, kids from other churches, not just Beit Lechem, that are going there. Because you know what? That might just be where God is doing a major work in youth right now. So that's beautiful. But we would also like to have something here too for our youth that are raised, that are coming up, and we have more being added to the pile. So, and then also child care is a real need that, that's a very practical need, and usually most people don't want to have to do childcare. So we're going to pray for that. Okay, resources, we need people to help in the sound booth. We need people to help in various aspects of ministry. So that's another area. Worship team. We have a worship team that consists of about 3-4 people. So we could use more people to rise up in that area. And then just how to develop that. Focus, how we focus, where our focus is in this body. So what God wants us to really focus and hone in on. Some of the community things, maybe reaching out to schools, and how we can support just maybe Rimrock Elementary. You know, do they need Are there kids there that need food, that need clothing, that might need some backpacks or books or things like that? You know, whatever it is, these are areas we are praying about how we make an impact in our community. So are there any questions on any of these topics of what to pray for? I kind of just gave you a brief run through. Okay, so number two, resources. Okay, your group, okay, that's good. Why don't you guys meet up in this corner, please? Worship team, number three. Okay, your group, why don't you guys, do you mind meeting just in this middle section here? Okay, so number four is focus. So how Beit Lechem is focusing, moving forward. Okay, cool. Let's have your group go back here. And then number five is community, how we reach out into our community. And that looks like it's probably the biggest group. Let's go back there at the tables if you're number five. So if you didn't raise your hand, please find a group that you can join. Because I'd like everybody in a group, please. Thank you. And we're going to take the next 5 to 10 minutes praying. What group were you? No, right here behind you.